Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. If you're tuning in, it's the weekend. Put your feet on the floor, get up and get outside and enjoy a little bit of this crisp, wonderful fall weather that we're experiencing. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. If you want to keep in touch with us while you're listening along here and do a little research, you can go to thegrillingguys.com and check us out, or you can check us out on Facebook. Post some pictures if you have any good pictures of what you're throwing on your grill, smoker, deep fryer, or maybe your campfire.
Send us a picture of that big buck you shot, too.
Oh, yeah.
And then send it down to Alan Bob's, too, because you're going to win prizes there. All we're going to do is talk about it.
That's right. Hey, I wanted to mention also, Garrett's has a cooking class Tuesday night. If you want to learn some Vietnamese cooking, you should check out Garrett's Appliances. There's a couple seats left. I just got an email. But this cool weather is so perfect that I'm finally thinking deer season is here. Right. I haven't really had time or energy or temperature control to feel like it's time to get into the hunting season. But Saturday, I'm away back, or Sunday, I guess, I'm away back from a wedding up north. I stopped into the deer camp at Whipple. And boy, if you want to get your juices flowing, just go to your hunting area and start checking out what's going on there, because we kicked up deer. There were bald eagles, all kinds of tracks all over, no scrapes or rubs, tons of acorns. And so I just kind of fluffed up my blinds a little bit, you know, and checked things out. I put a little corn down, some apples.
You're the fluffer.
And it's just exciting. Gonna get another trip up there before I actually go for the week-long hunt, but you got to cut some firewood, because what you don't want to do, although I don't know, I don't think a chainsaw scares deer away anyway. They don't mind.
They kind of grew up
machinery
around them in most places. Yeah.
As long as you're not cutting up their brother or something, they're probably okay with it.
Speaking of cutting up their brother, this last weekend, got another guy that got an early deer, and when you're rolling into places and you're, you know, supposedly know how to grill some stuff, this guy comes out with this boneless neck roast, right? And he's like, what should I do with this? Well, I gave him the instructions. I didn't do it, but because this involves a marinade. The neck roast is again, a little bit more of a dense meat. That neck is a used muscle. A
lot of silver skin.
There's a lot of silver skin in there. You got to debone it around the vertebrae and things. So, but anyway, he's got this neck roast. It's about 3 pounds.
Let me ask you, did the butcher debone it for you?
No, he was just asking me. He had it there, and he had done it, I think.
The guy
I was with.
Oh.
So he comes up to me, he says, what can I do with a neck roast? And my mind went immediately to rotisserie, right? Because you want to cook that slow. It's a little bit more of a stringier meat, and it's not necessarily as tender, because it's, again, one of those muscles in the animal that's used all day, every day. So what I told him to do, when I think venison, I always go to a fruit for a marinade, because it imparts a great flavor. It just seems like the fall to use apple juice. So we used a couple cups of cider, and then I always put in like in a half a cup of apple vinegar, just to give it a little bit of tang, and that acidic kind of drives that down in there.
So somebody cooked this?
No, they're going to cook it.
Oh.
He asked me for what the recipe was. So then in addition to the cider, I got a couple cups of cider, a half a cup of vinegar, some Worcestershire, and I like a little ginger in there. That just is a great fall flavor. Then I told him to dice up a couple apples. And I want to put all of this, and maybe even some onion, a chopped up onion, put all of this in a solution in the bottom of the pan, set the roast in there, and then fill it with water, let it marinate for 10 or 11 hours. Then he's going to take it off, put it on his rotisserie, get that thing to about 160 degrees on the internal temperature.
So do you know what his grill is?
Yeah, he said he had a charcoal grill, and he had a rotisserie on it. He specifically wanted a rotisserie recipe.
Okay.
So we're going to put a pan under it to catch what little drippings. Again, that venison is lean, but so we can baste it. And again, just an idea for you to go out and put a little bit of moisture into that really lean meat, cook it slow, catch the drippings so you can rebaste it with the drippings.
So let me ask you, do you know if this grill with a rotisserie has the ability to close the lid?
It did not have the ability to close
the lid. So that's going to be a little bit of a problem for him.
Right. Well, it's going to take a little bit more heat and a little bit more time. Because if you can get the lid, you get the convective heat, right? And it allows it to cook more even and quicker.
But with the pan under it, maybe he can put the rest of the marinade in the pan, yep. So that can help hydrate the meat while he uses the rotisserie.
Get almost a little steam effect.
Yeah, because if he's doing open lid, that might help him.
Right.
Versus open carry.
Right. Well, we got a little of that, too. That helps a lot of people. But anyway, that was an idea to do that neck roast on that venison is get that apple flavor imparted on it. You can put dry rub seasonings on the outside, too, if you are so inclined.
But I thought this was all leading up to the fact that you were going to loan him my Epicoa.
No. I don't loan out your stuff. I borrow your stuff and use it. I don't loan
You've
it out.
You've got all my stuff now. Right. I've nothing left even. You can't even borrow it.
I don't even think
I can. You can't even borrow anything.
I haven't seen the Epicoa.
You have everything.
In years. Yeah, I haven't seen the Epicoa in years.
I'm down to like what? Maybe a grill.
Oh, cry me a river, new smoker boy. Yeah, who just came back from Kansas towing a new smoker? Well, that was you.
Oh, well, it's a good thing because, I mean, you've got everything else I own.
I understand. I'm nothing but your leftovers. I'll take your hand-me-downs. And I clean them and they work again.
When I left the house this morning, my daughter Maggie was getting ready to go to work, and she had my Sterling, my Tech dual burner, fired up. She had chicken breasts on there. She was cooking for all the girls at work. And
how'd she do?
They looked beautiful, and I was so proud of her. It's like she didn't even ask me how to light it or anything. I mean, she, you know, the cool thing is I got to give my kids a lot of credit. They really do pick up a lot of cooking tips, and they're always watching and studying my wife or myself on this or that. My wife's a great baker. And you know I like to grill, so they're all pretty adept in the kitchen. And she was just out on the deck, as cold as it was. She had her coat and her boots on, and she's got the lid shut. And she asked me what temperature to bring these breasts to. They were skinless, boneless, but give her credit for that. That was pretty cool. That's heartwarming to see her kids at the grill.
Yeah, absolutely, unsolicited too. She just said, "I can do this for my girlfriends." Right.
Well, that's the beauty of it. She didn't say, "Hey, Dad, would you go cook these for me?"
Right.
So we have some cool stuff coming up, Jop. Because it is campfire time, I think the best fall campfire food is in order, and it's hard to think about a campfire without talking to the people at Lodge. So we have Mark Kelly from Lodge coming on in the next segment, and of course, I'm going down to New Orleans pretty soon, and I'm going to Louisiana to Lafayette to see my buddy T. Gid. So I thought it would be appropriate to get him on for some campfire food because we usually talk with him about, you know, basic Cajun stuff, but he's got a lot of experience in the woods and on the ponds.
Those guys are big duck hunters down
there.
He
is.
Yeah.
He is.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
So his daddy has, and his daddy was quite a guy, but he's got a duck camp chili that T. Gid actually took second place in the chili cook-off with, and he's got a really funny story about his chili cook-off because, like, his brother just signed him up without asking him, and, you know.
Kind of like I did with you, the one we got coming up in December. I'm going to jump in before I get thrown under that bus. I'll just jump
the
out
the story was so similar. We laughed so long yesterday when he told me.
Yeah, but well, we got that coming up again the first weekend in December. We're going to go try to win back our crown. We won first year, second year of the event, we took second. So this is redemption year for us.
We're going to be paired up with Gravel Bottom, so that'll be fun.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Check us out on thegrillingguys.com. Follow Barbecue Bob on the Twitter. And you know what, just connect with us. Send us the pictures of your big buck. You listen to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy advanced water care system keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com. Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're going down a little Copperhead Road right there. Gotta love it. The magic of the board with Brian Fongers, our producer. Always good to have some great bumper music. Fong, thank you, sir. Bob, it is the fall. We're all jiggied up for our hunting camps. And when you're sitting back and you're doing a little planning on what it is you want to bring to camp, you know, I'm the king of lists, but one of the things on the top of the list is cast iron, right? If you're going to camp and you're going to be cooking over fire, you better bring some cast iron with you.
And I agree absolutely. And you better be bringing some American-made cast iron. And if, you know, we heard Copperhead Road leading into this, and Copperhead Road ends up right at the front door of Lodge Manufacturing in Jamestown, Tennessee. Welcome to the show, Mark Kelly.
Thanks so much. I can't tell you how many times I listen to that Steve Earle song. It's one of my favorites. I don't know if it's the moonshining or the bagpipes, but it's absolutely one of my favorites.
Or the fact that he flipped his moonshine business into weed. That's the best part of the story.
Well, I could tell you, in this area, it's gone from moonshine to weed and now meth.
Well, that's too bad. Yeah,
that's another story. But anyway, yeah, cast iron is the way to go. You know, skillets are amazing, but the Camp Dutch ovens are the real deal.
Now, I might have gotten your town wrong. I don't believe it is Jamestown, is it?
No, we're in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee.
That's
we're
it.
Actually right outside of Chattanooga, but we're still, you know, at the base of a mountain in Tennessee, and you know, Jamestown's only a couple hours away. But
I was thinking of Parker Charcoal. They're over in Jamestown, so my
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, that's okay. It's another great Tennessee brand.
So, Jop and I love going to deer camp. We have some wonderful lodge equipment. You actually sent us some nice gifts, but we've been buying lodge for,
ever.
I guess our parents were buying lodge.
Right, yeah, hand-me-down stuff
some of mine
started
in,
with,
yeah.
Right? We all do, yeah.
Yeah, so tell folks, you know, maybe the difference between yours and the cheap knockoffs.
Principally, we've been here for 120 years, we have a patented metal formula, and it's difficult for people to realize that something as hard as cast iron, it actually depends on metal formula, but that's what happens. We're very meticulous with our entire manufacturing process. We test the metal mixture every half hour to make sure it's correct, and at any stage during the manufacturing process, an employee can take a product off the line, and it's either sold as a second in our factory stores or remelted for another piece of cookware. And really, that's a big step for us. But in regard to Dutch ovens, we test to make sure there's a perfect seal between the lid and the pot of every Dutch oven. I mean, it's we had those old wine commercials. We sell no wine before it's time. It's the same thing with our Dutch ovens and other products. We make sure that it's what we want it to be, and we stand by our products. So we're very meticulous. Even if you go into the packing area just before the products are sent out, they're looking at those products again to make sure they're exactly what not only customer wants, but what we would want to cook with or eat from. So that's the biggest difference. And we stand by our products. If you have a problem, you can call, and you're actually speaking to an American customer service person.
Thank God. Yeah.
When y'all called in just a minute ago, you didn't get a voicemail. You got a human voice, and she transferred your call to us. Our company's growing, but we still know that it's important to have one-on-one contact with our customers, and that's the way we'll always be.
Mark, speaking to the quality of your product, something you mentioned that I don't want to just blow by, and that was that Dutch oven lid seals perfectly with the Dutch oven base. Because when we're thinking about cooking in a Dutch oven, one of the basic principles of that is we want to seal that moisture in, because we're using a convective heat, and we want that moisture for the items that we're using in as liquids in our cook to stay in there and not evaporate away. And with cheaper knockoffs, that lid doesn't seal as tight, and you get leakage, and then you get dried out, burnt food. And it's a huge difference, and it's one of the primary reasons why you get a good quality piece of equipment like a Lodge Dutch oven.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at a stove, an electric stove or gas stove. When you close that door, it's sealed, and you don't lose that seal until you open it up. Same thing with the Dutch ovens. And you're absolutely right. You want to protect the food from anything that any loss of moisture. I mean, you do have to open it up every now and then and look at it, but you want to keep it tight, want to maintain that heat. And it's regardless of the cooking technique. It doesn't matter if you're making a stew or baking or whatever. You want that oven contained just like one at home. And our process has evolved through the past 120 years, but that's the one thing that you can always trust, is that we're going to do it right for the consumer. And also for us, I mean, we use the products as well. So it's, and our customers are our best salespeople. They tell our story all day, every day, all around the world, and it makes a huge difference for us. But it's all because of the meticulous nature of the manufacturing process. I say we are meticulous in our manufacturing process, particularly in the metal chemistry, but on the inspection process. And very few companies take the time or expense anymore to have employees check it all the way through the manufacturing process, all the way to making sure that seal is exactly what it needs to be.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, heard every weekend on this station that you're listening to, of course. And you can also check us out on thegrillingguys.com and on Facebook and Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. We're talking right now with Mark Kelly from Lodge Manufacturing in Tennessee. In our opinion, it's the greatest cast iron maker in the world. They just happen to be in America. And, if you look at the prices of Lodge, you don't have to buy the cheap knockoffs and have the leaky, porous cast that your food sticks to. You can buy a beautifully honed piece of cast that you'll be happy to pass on to your kids. And to attest to your lid, of course, the curing and, of course, the oiling when you're done washing that piece of equipment is important. And I oil the heck out of my Dutch oven before I put it away. And sometimes I can barely get that lid off because it's so tight. It like vacuums itself on when you push it on. So that tells you exactly how precise that lid seals. But tell us, Mark, you've got a lot of other cool things. Have you caught up yet on production of your beautiful little hibachi? Because that, to me, is still the coolest device ever made.
Sad to say, no. We had last time we talked, we were working on an expansion to the foundry, which was completed in January of 2015. That increased our production capacity 50%. The sales are up 90%.
So, that sounds like a good place to go get a job to me.
Right.
When I started here in January 2005, we had 185 employees, and right now we have 362. When the new foundry expansion is completed in late 17 or early 18, we will have a little over 400 American workers, and that includes our four factory stores. So in a town of 3,300 people, you can imagine the impact it has, not just for our workers, but, there's a tire store next door to our foundry, there are restaurants here, there are doctors, all these different businesses are impacted by us. That's what I call a real trickle-down effect. And we have a great payroll, great benefits plan, great 401k. So we contribute to the local economy. But the other facet that's so intriguing about our growth is American manufacturing is revered all over the world. We sell to 56 other countries, and we have other distributors in other countries that are demanding our products.
That's awesome.
The ultimate irony to me is the rich Chinese don't buy Chinese-made goods. They buy our goods like ours.
Amen to that, brother.
Let's keep that up. Yeah. Mark Kelly, Lodge Manufacturing, Tennessee. Always great to have you on, brother. And you keep doing what you're doing, and we'll keep promoting your product.
Please do, and please tell your listeners every day, buy American, because it makes all the difference in the world.
It does. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, thanks. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.
You bet.
Mark Kelly, Lodge Manufacturing, great guy, great company, huge success story, and they make a damn good product. We use it all the time. Coming up next, our favorite Cajun, T-Kid, going to talk a little bit about a duck camp chili. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100. Diggy, diggy, some of this duck camp chili that we're about to talk about, because this is one of my favorite guests that we have on this show, because you want to talk about Mr. Authenticity. This is T-Gid, the Raging Cajun from Lafayette, Louisiana. But before we get to that, Barbecue Bob, what you thinking about duck camp, man? You're not much of a duck hunter, but I am. But I don't think you need to go to duck camp specifically to have
chili. I like
chili.
The duck you make for me.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And if I ever get enough time, I'm going to get me out in a boat with T-Gid and get me some duck.
Yeah.
What's up, baby?
Good morning, brothers. How y'all been?
Oh, we're good now, hearing your voice.
Talking about food, talking about hunting with a bunch of guys, fishing or deer hunt. I mean, it doesn't matter. Just being out in the woods with buddies and food and drink and God. I mean, what's not to love about that?
Right. Just be careful nobody's recording you, right?
That's right. Be careful, because Ben, you know, the locker room talk.
Right. Camp talk, locker room talk, it's all about the same.
Not if
but
you're running for president. Right.
That's a dangerous time we live in, brother. Hey, I'm hoping that when I get to see you here in a couple of weeks, we can do a little more recipe swapping. But this one, the duck camp chili sounds really, really good, as well as your smothered potatoes and sausage, which I've watched that video, four times. So whichever one you want to cover first, but take it away.
Well, let's talk about the chili. I mean, this is kind of like, you know, I'm sure, I don't know about y'all's fathers, if they were big time cooks, but yeah, I have fond memories, man, of, you know, from being as young as 8 years old, going to the camp. And, my dad's always been at the camp. He was always the head chef, you know, he was the cook. And, you know, you just knew that when you rolled up to the camp and you walked into the porch area where he was cooking and you smelled that chili, that it was going to be a great weekend, man. You eat it for dinner, and you come in from the duck hunt the next morning, you ate it cold like breakfast. I mean, it was just, it didn't matter how you ate it, it was good. And it's really just a real simple recipe that anybody can do, because all these ingredients can be had at, you know, any part of the country. And the neat thing about it, and you know as well as I do, you can make it your own. You know, you start out with a base plan, and you tweak it, you know, and you make it fit your palate or your family's, you know, whether it's a seasoning, whether we would use a certain type of heat, you know, if you don't like that much heat, then don't use it, you know, but I don't know who doesn't like a good chili. You know, I just don't understand.
You're talking to the choir here, brother, because I tell you what, chili is just a staple. You get to sit back. It's comfort food. You just live with it. And you're right. If you're in any kind of camp and there's a pot of chili going, it just makes camp.
Now, yeah. Keith, I think you're going to be in a chili cook-off pretty soon. And a funny thing was, when you first did that chili cook-off, Greg just signed you up for it. You didn't even know anything that you were supposed to do it. And he was thinking you had everything under control. What a funny story that is.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure we all have brothers like that, you know.
We do. Or co-hosts.
We do.
Our partners.
But yeah, I might have done that once, yeah.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, he signed us up. You know, we're big in the oil field down here, and there's this huge chili cook-off. And I'm telling you, these people take pride, and they got deep pockets. I mean, they show up with these rigs like it's like NASCAR, you know what I mean, or like the Kansas City Invitational. I mean, it's big time. And we showed up with our Cajun grills because that's how we cook. You know, a lot of people like showing up with burners and big kettles and all this other stuff. And we show up with three Cajun grills. We had three pot holders with three 9-quart cast iron pots, and we got busy making chili. But the bottom line is, you know, I showed up to be a sous chef, and my brother shows up with nothing other than the grills. He's like, where are the groceries? And I'm like, dude, no, you invited me to help you, okay? I'm here to help you, not do it for you.
Oh, the sting.
Yeah, you know, but I called my dad on the way to the grocery. You talk about panic. I mean, everybody's like halfway done.
Right.
I'm jumping in my car heading to the grocery store saying, Dad, how do you do that chili from the duck camp? And he gave me some ingredients, and we threw it together. And in the end, we ended up taking second place. And what was unique about it is that we did smoke it with apple wood, you know, on the grill. Once it hit simmer stage, we lowered the cold tray, you know, closed the lid on the Cajun grill, and all that beautiful applewood smoke just loving up on that food. And we'd open it up every once in a while and stir it into the pot, you know, get all that smoky flavor up into that chili. And one of the judges literally came, had to find us, and said, did y'all take second place? And I was like, yeah. Dude, what did you put in that chili? Because it was, when I opened the lid, it just hit me, this aroma. And I can't put my finger on it. What'd y'all do? And we said, well, we smoked it with applewood. And he said, that's it. It was that smoky aroma. You could taste it. You could smell it. And you could probably feel it, you know. But it was so unique that it stood out. And so if you cook it in a chili competition, you know, use that little trick. It might help you win.
You know? Well, and you brought smokers rather than a burner with a pot, and that's what you see. About 90% of the guys are there with a burner and a pot, right? And
exactly.
Bob and I, we had a lot of fun a couple years ago. We were in one and we won it, and it was that exact thing. Is we smoked all our vegetables and all our meat in the smoker, made the chili with all the smoked product, and then put it back in the smoker to finish it off. And you're exactly right. It's just a different profile. Not everybody has all that equipment, but if you do, use it that way. Because
you don't need a big fancy piece of equipment. I mean, heck, you can use a Weber Keta grill. You know, I mean, it's just something to give it some smoky flavor, you know. But if you had a Cajun grill, which is kind of neat because we literally have a pot holder where you can sink the pot. You can lift the coal bed where it's kissing the bottom of your pot. So when you're browning your meat, And you smothering your vegetables in after you brown your meat, and then after you add your tomato sauces and all your liquid ingredients, you can put it on that simmer mode, or my boy likes to call it put it on drink, you know, where you can go have a few beers.
Right.
And you just close it down and smoke it. It just makes for an easy way of cooking.
I just put my pot holder on my Cajun. I got my back deck all set up now, and the Cajun is the first grill in the lineup, and I now have that stainless pot holder in there. So I'm looking for a pot. I haven't tried my big Lodge Dutch oven in that yet to see, but do you know what size?
9-quart.
The 9-quart. The 12 doesn't fit in it?
Yeah. No, the 12 don't fit in it.
Okay.
Now, if you call Greg, he can probably have you a custom pot holder made, but the 9-quart fits perfectly, and a 7-quart. So depending on how much food you want to cook,
sure,
you know, you can get either one.
Sure.
So T-Gib, we got a couple minutes. Hit us with this smothered taters and sausage.
Well, the smothered taters, and so I tell you what, I mean, it's like my dad cooked this one time at a festival, and this guy watched him cook it from beginning to end, and after he tasted, he said, "Mr. Ray, I'll never look at a potato the same." I mean, who would have known that a potato could taste so dang good? And what it is, you know, growing up in Cajun country, my grandfather was a Cajun. He was, you know, his ancestors were forced out of Nova Scotia. So you got to learn how to be frugal and live off the land. And potatoes is something that was really cheap. And smoked meats was real prevalent. They knew how to do that. And so basically all it is taking white potatoes, red potatoes, whatever kind of potatoes you got handy, skinning them, and then taking a cast iron pot. Again, we do it on the Cajun grill. You can do it on your stovetop. And you just get the oil hot, and you just put your potatoes in there and just kind of brown them. You just want to stir them around, brown them real good, and then you can take those out and then take your smoked meats or your, if you want to use ground meat, you can do that too. But you add your smoked meat in the pot and you saute that down, you render that down with all the fat. We like using tasso or andouille or smoked sausage. And then you add your vegetables in there and saute that down. Add your potatoes back in and just add a little bit of water and just stir it very infrequently on a low fire and close the lid on it. And you steam in the potatoes. You want to cook them and you just keep stirring it every once in a while. And part of that potato breaks down and breaks off of the main potato.
Well, listen, you're gonna cook that for me in 2.5 weeks, okay?
Dude, you better.
Because I'm gonna be at your doorstep the night before Halloween.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to get some grills fired up. Tell us the name of your videos for your TV show.
Well, if you go to YouTube, probably the easiest way to find them is Grilling with the Guru, we love putting them out. They're locally aired. But everything we do, everything, whether it's Italian, Chinese, Mexican, Cajun, any recipe we do, it's all on the grill. So if you're a grill freak, you're going to love this show.
All right.
It's just we have a lot of fun, and it's great information.
We're out of time, brother.
That went too fast.
I know.
You better call me when you can give me 20 minutes or something.
Well, I will be seeing you very soon.
I can't wait. I can't. Hey, Job. Yeah, good job, man. Congratulations on your new addition to your cooking arsenal.
Thank you.
And I hope to get you down here one day soon, too.
Love to be there. Thanks for the invite. We'll do all I can. All right.
All right, guys. Y'all keep it steady, man.
Thanks.
That's Keith Guidry from the Cajun Grill Manufacturing, Percy Guidry Company.
Cast iron do's and don'ts. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale. Or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Beer City, USA.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I tell you what, that T. Gidd, I could talk to that guy for an hour. Man, he is just a wealth of knowledge. You know, I knew he had this show on TV, but the YouTube videos are all there.
Yep.
The guy can he can flat out cook on a grill.
Yeah.
But he's so forthright with all the information. He's not holding anything back. You want to learn some things, though. Get on and watch those things. Because
I'm going to post his chili recipe that he won with. Yeah. And we'll have about 90% of it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so don't be fooled. But he is a great guy. He is he's one of the kindest people you'll ever meet.
Yep. Good Southern gentleman.
Yeah, and when I leave here this morning, I'm heading right over to Snap Fitness to get my fat butt back into workout for today, because the rest of the day will be great if I start with a good workout. So Snap Fitness, if you haven't belonged to a gym, just check them out. Go online, look for Snap Fitness, and all the Snap Fitness in Michigan are part of this show, and tell them you appreciate them backing your favorite radio show.
That's right. So we talked in the second segment about with Mark Kelly from Lodge Manufacturing, and Lodge specializes in cast iron cookware, and it's uniquely American what they do. The quality is absolutely there. Highly recommend the Lodge brand.
Dude, I saw it in Cracker Barrel. They have it in the front of Cracker Barrel.
Right.
They're selling Lodge equipment,
yeah,
which cracked me up because I love Cracker Barrel.
Right.
The best pancakes in the country.
Nothing more American than Cracker Barrel restaurant, right? I mean, with the rocking chairs on the front porch.
So one of the things with cast iron is making sure you take good care of it. So let's talk just for a second before we talk about things you can cook is when you're cleaning that up. And I, for some reason, people still ask me this. I don't know why. It seems like common sense, but it's just hot water. You never put soap on cast iron, inside or out. Use hot water and a brush, and really hot water. Rinse it out. Let it dry.
A nylon brush, right?
When it's dry, yeah. And I don't think anybody uses metal brushes in the kitchen anymore.
No, I don't think they do either. But they might because they thought it was a metal pan. That's all.
Well,
you've
probably been saving one for like 20 years.
Right, right. Yeah, the pan or the brush. Yeah,
and then oil it. I use PAM or spray on vegetable oil, and I just spray a nice coat on it. I spray the lid, spray the bottom, put the lid on, and then good luck getting that lid off in a month when you blow it back up because it just sticks.
Yeah, but I've been over to your house. Don't tell me that's a month. You use yours almost every day. You use it inside and
outside. I use that big skillet. I have the, I think it's 14-inch skillet by Lodge. I don't know. It's huge, and that was a gift. It was a gift from my wife's secretary for me to take to deer camp. Guess where it has never been?
Right.
To deer camp.
It's never left your stove.
I tried taking it one year, and she goes, what are you doing with that? I said, well, I'm taking it up to deer camp. And she goes, well, you've got all kinds of other ones you can take.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah. She owns it now.
But that cast, when you get it hot and oily, it's as good as Teflon. It's beautiful stuff. And for campfires, the skillet or the Dutch oven, or they actually gave us some really nice griddles and grills that you can put on a grate. One of them has like panini type slots in it.
Yep. Yep.
And I think that's the one you got.
Yep, I have that. Yep.
Very nice for bacon as well.
Right, it's a griddle.
If you need to use bacon on the campfire, because that's kind of dangerous stuff.
Right, and with the little ridges on there, it doesn't stick.
And a nice grease trough.
Yeah, and exactly. The grease renders off, and your bacon's not swimming in it.
So some of the do's and don'ts, some of the don'ts on Dutch ovens are don't set it right in your campfire. If you have a big bed of coals, there's too much heat there. These things are so efficient that all you want to do is dig a little hole next to your campfire where people won't walk, and then take a shovel and take a scoop of coals, throw it in that hole, set your oven in there, and then get another small scoop of coals, the good hot red stuff, and throw it on the lid and just leave it be. And then maybe in an hour throw some coals back on the top.
Right, because they'll go out. They'll cool quicker than the ones that are underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the conductive properties of cast iron with that unique formula that they use, you can even put fire on one side and it works all the way around the pot. So if you wanted to do it beside the fire too, you don't have to rotate it that much. I mean, it's not like a rotisserie type
thing.
But
you will have to rotate it if you're just going beside the fire.
Right.
Because what you'll have is you'll have a hot spot, and I've fallen prey to this and like burnt one side and the other side's not quite done yet. So you really have to pay attention to it if you're going to do it that way. But you're absolutely right. It does work. Large skillets, there's nothing like a large Lodge cast iron skillet. If you're going to deer camp, there's lots of things you're going to want to do. You're going to want to do breakfast largely because if you like staying in the woods a long time, having a good hot breakfast before you head off into the woods and then, of course, hit the outhouse before you climb in your tree stand.
8:30.
Or you'll be climbing down out of the tree.
Right.
So get yourself a nice big meal, and then you can sit in your stand until noon with a little bit of jerky in your pocket.
Right.
And you'll be good.
Yeah, absolutely. That Bob, I was over at your house last week. I don't remember what we were doing, but
I think we were drinking Lockdown.
Yeah, we might have been from Arcadia. Our friends down there. You know what we were, but a little bit of mind eraser there. It just came back to me. but anyway, we got hungry, and you stood up and you made a pizza in your cast iron skillet.
Oh, yeah.
So the flexibility of this stuff is pretty cool. I mean, I think you had planned it because you had the dough rather in a bowl already.
Right.
But you just pressed that out and put a little oil down, pressed that out, baked it, right? So you put the cast iron
a good
in the
use
oven.
For a,
right.
There's a good use for a Dutch oven.
Right.
You could do a pizza in that.
Right.
Which
but
we
the
have
skillet,
done.
The skillet, you took the skillet, put the dough in the bottom with a little oil down, and put it in the oven and baked it first, then pulled it back out, put the toppings on, and put it back in the oven.
Yep.
So you were using the skillet as your pizza stone,
yep.
if you will. Why? Because it cooks evenly.
Oh, it's so nice.
When you're inside
and
the
I
oven.
And I put a little bit of Old World Olive Company's Tuscan oil in the bottom and just cooked like a man.
Yeah. It was cool. And the thing was I was really surprised that it was good. You always make good food, but I had never seen a pizza come out of a cast iron skillet before. It was crunchy on the bottom.
You know where I learned that? Pizza Hut. When they came out with their pan pizza, they had these little cast iron pizza pans that they did all their pizzas in. And I loved that pan pizza when they first came out with it.
Right.
It was real greasy and crispy. And grease equals good.
Yeah, right. Bad is your friend, generally, except at Snap Fitness, right?
Yes. Well, you have to pay your dues.
So what is your favorite thing to cook in a skillet? I mean, you use this thing all the time, a lot more than I do, because you cook for a big bunch of people.
Well,
and I always cook, you know, there's just one or two of us around.
But at deer camp, it's just two of us generally. Or sometimes the crazy cousins come over and hawk our food.
Right.
But it's very often, it's going to be like potatoes with peppers and onions would be the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I would do in there is sometimes if you have a camp deer and you have some nice little fillets, they're so delicate and tender. You just want to put a little butter in that pan and put a little garlic salt and some crushed pepper on it and just sear those nicely in some butter. They're so good. If you get some chops or if you want to do a tenderloin like that, you can cut up a tenderloin and just do some nice little bites like that. Sometimes I'll take the back straps and just cube them up and roll them around in butter and salt and pepper on a skillet like that and just like a high heat and just flash them. They're so tender. It's incredible. And with a little bit of garlic, salt, and pepper, oh, my God.
Yeah,
my
don't have to get crazy with the seasonings on that stuff.
No.
Let the natural flavor come through.
No.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, but also, what I generally do is I'll make chili in advance. And you can take – I have a small Dutch oven as well, so I'll pour a bunch of chili in there when we leave. And that one I will leave on last night's coals. When we get back, lunch is ready.
Yeah.
Because those coals are it slowly warms it, and it's weird. It just works out just perfect because it's still got enough heat that it'll warm it up, but it won't burn it.
Right.
And so I use the small Dutch oven for that.
Very cool.
And cast iron, man, at deer camp, it's perfect.
Yeah. You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We hope you get out in the woods this weekend and enjoy a little bit of the beautiful bounty. The color's almost upon us. I think we're about a week off for perfect color. But we got one more little quick segment for us. Stick with us. We'll be back. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden mold boys raised on shotguns. We say crazy, we say man.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Today's Man Law is brought to you by Vicky's Bridge Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan, home of the best pasty in the Lower Peninsula, bar none. They'll check out Tony and Tony over there. They're doing some great work.
They do great work.
So today's man law is if you've known a guy for more than 24 hours, his sister is off limits forever, unless you actually marry her.
Well, yeah, so there's a time when you have to cross that line because I'm thinking you're going to spend a little bit of time with her before you marry her. But so that one's got that's man law gray.
So if you don't marry her, you violated.
Yeah, right.
You lose
yeah,
your card.
You get a retroactive penalty.
So let's talk about chili at deer camp real quickly because we only have a few minutes. But
depending on the length of your deer camp,
yes.
And what I mean by that is if you're going for a 2 or 3 day weekend, I would advocate that if you're doing it rustic and you're not in the Hilton like I do, but if you're doing it rustic. Prep ahead a little bit. You can take and cut up your vegetables. I use a little bit more coarse chop in a chili. The beans all come in a jar or a can. You can do that. But getting cutting boards out and getting knives out and all of that stuff, generally you don't have enough table space. So you can do that stuff at home. Put it in a Ziploc bag. Leave it sealed. Put it in the bottom of your cooler where it's going to stay cold until you're ready to make that chili. Great tip there because – and even you can even cut up tomatoes. They come in a can if you want fresh ones. Your aromas will hold for a couple days cut up. So
if you're bringing a tripod, like my big Dutch oven has a tripod.
Hangs over the fire, right?
Yep,
is that what you're talking about?
Yep. Or I also have a tripod with a grate that our boys from Born to Grill gave us.
Up in Muskegon area, sure.
But – If you have the tripod with your Dutch oven, you can actually leave the lid on, keep it over your smoky small fire, and get a really nice smoke effect to your chili while you're making it. And that's a really nice way to do your chili too. If you like a little smokiness on your food, and I'm thinking if you're listening to this show, you probably do like smoke.
Yeah, a little smokiness on everything because we're kind of advocates for all of that. But when you put your chili together, Bob, what kind of seasonings? I mean, is it just chili powder or is there something that you put a little twist in there? A lot of times people will put a little jar or a can, rather, of crushed pineapple in there if you want to get just a little bit sweeter profile. I know that I've got some friends that do that. That's not necessarily my favorite. Chili needs to have a little bit of a bite in the back.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, whereas the pineapple tends to soften that bite a little bit. So, you know, but that's something that you can do if you're going somewhere and you have somebody made chili for you and it's too strong, you don't like it, is a little bit of sugar or a little bit of fruit.
Well, the sugar cuts the acidity.
Right.
So if you find that it's got too tangy of a flavor, a little bit of sugar, brown sugar, will tame that right down.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really a basic thing. It's cumin, garlic, sea salt, crushed pepper. I use a little cayenne, and I also use chili powder.
Right.
And that's really it. And then a good variety of peppers. If you cut up some poblano, some serrano, jalapeno, green pepper, and banana peppers, you get a real nice medley of peppers. The bigger blend of peppers you use, in my opinion, the broader – my mouth's watering thinking about chili now. But what I actually do is I make my chili up in advance, and I throw it in a Ziploc bag and bring it in the cooler.
Great
just
idea.
To save the
then
time.
Then you don't even have to cook it. You're just warming
it
up.
Yeah.
Great idea. You've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Get out this weekend in your backyard. Fire up a grill or smoker, or even a deep fryer. It's great fishing right now. We appreciate you tuning in, and we'll talk with you next week.